I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
What's your perspective on a 28-year-old male getting a pair of masseuses because the two women that he works with have talked about them so much?
It would be a massive turn on, Scott.
Oh. All right. So that's
definitely not
that's
buying
a tick
them now.
In the no box.
Oh my God.
I mean, we should describe Scott's usual footwear.
That's what I'm saying. It would be a step up, I tell you.
He's got two pairs of shoes, thongs.
And good thongs.
And RMs. And if you add a masseur into the mix.
You're forgetting the Vans. I usually wear Vans.
No, you don't. That's a lie. I've never seen Vans on your feet. I've seen thongs.
And what kind of thongs do I have?
Like the ones Barnaby Joyce was wearing when he was on holidays in Palm Cove.
Not true.
Those fabric ones that are slightly too big.
These are the kind of, this is the kind of thong I have. Havana Unana.
Do you know what Remy said about that song? Because he quite likes it. He came home from school and he was like, Mum, you know that Catholic schoolboy, Mum, you know that song Hosanna Hunana?
You know, if they Hosanna? Put that in church, I'd go to church
I
more if the
too.
Hymns were a bit more, a bit less, you know, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy. I still know that.
Hosanna Unana.
Yeah,
because
he's onto
you imagine
it.
Going into your church in Mackay, which would be filled with people over the age of 70, and all of them being like, Hosanna Unana.
Yeah. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Do you know how many
I always
giggling...
got stuck next to those old ladies who sang like that.
Do you know how many giggling fits my older sister and I would have in church over hymns? Like, uncontrollable. My father was so unimpressed. We just could not keep it together.
Well, I tell you
ever.
Who made us laugh in church when we went, because we were Catholics, but Dad, I don't know what Dad is. I don't think he knows either. But sometimes he'd have to come to church when we were growing up in Bundy and, you know, Sunday Mass was a thing. And we had to be separated from sitting with Dad because he would just make so many comments. You know, like you'd go to genuflect to get into the pew and he'd be like, well, was everyone doing aerobics? And then we would, you know, as kids, we'd be like, oh, God, Dad, so funny. And then Mum would just be giving him filthy looks and that made Dad laugh even more. So he had to sit next to Mum and we had to sit on the other side of Mum.
I stopped generally attending a Catholic church about 2 years ago, and I actually think that's the moment my fitness levels dropped. I've just realized the
lower
connection.
Lower back issues, no squats.
How bad is kneeling on a pew? Not my favourite.
No. Mum basically said to us, well, when you're 16, you can decide what you want to do. And I was like, I'm not going to church
then. No, I had to wait till year 12 was over.
Yeah, well, that was grade 12. I turned 16.
No, you didn't, Sarah.
You went to the school.
Yeah, the same year. We were in the same year. We were 17 and a half when we graduated.
I just turned 17.
Your school, did you use that ugly concrete church next to your school?
Yes.
That thing is gross.
Yes. Holy Spirit. No, Holy Family.
You're judging a house of God, Scott.
It was
not very Christian.
It's about the people, not the building. So
it was the worst looking church I've ever seen.
This is a house of God,
right?
With you two in here,
thank you.
Josh would need to leave. Aside from that, we'd be bang on.
Good religious upbringing times. Although I didn't have a religious upbringing.
Do you guys want
we just had to go to church.
Isn't that the definition of a religious upbringing?
Well, no, I think it was more of a small town thing too, where you had, you know, pretty much had to go to church every Sunday because the teachers would ask you if you didn't. And, ooh, you know, Mum taught in a Catholic school and
I remember being,
keep up face.
I think so.
I remember being punished.
And it was kind of a social event too, because everyone from school would be there.
Yeah, I used to go, my sister and I used to go like virtual shopping at church. So we'd watch everyone walk by and go like, I'd buy that, I'd have that, I like those shoes. I remember being punished for getting communion, you know, the little bread, the little circular bread before I had my first communion. I was like, I really want some of that and the wine, and I lined up without Dad seeing me. Got it. And then he sprung me.
We never drank the wine.
I did.
ever.
Free, and I got it for free.
That's just like, yeah, I tell you what else you could get for free. A free case of cold sores. Like, that's the filthiest thing
I don't do it now
in
as an
the
adult.
World yeah. is drinking out of the wine cup
do you know
at
what,
church.
Do you know what's actually...
And then they just think a little serviette wipes the sores away.
Yes.
Mate, it doesn't. No amount of Jesus' hands is going to take away...
the sins of the world.
The herpes virus that gives you cold sores.
I can't do it now.
Do you know what is brilliant is... the like transition that has happened over the years. So back when you went to church, everyone just had their bit of communion wafer and moved on.
Yeah.
And you spent the rest of Mass trying to get it off the top of your top palate.
Like a retching cat.
Or like a bush turkey.
Practically every church.
Suck it off the top.
Practically every church I now go to, they're like, and if you need a gluten-free wafer.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it.
Not a word of a lie.
Are you serious?
Yes. Like,
but if Jesus loves you, you wouldn't be gluten intolerant.
So, I mean, that's a joke. We're obviously
joking. I have a lot of people that are loved by Jesus in my world.
That would have been a great excuse for celiacs to be like, sorry, no can do. And then they've introduced a gluten-free wafer and now all the celiacs are like, God, I've got to go up now.
I feel like we should edit that out.
Why? Off for the celiacs.
We weren't joking.
We're obviously joking.
Celiacs have a sense of humour. There's enough gluten-free products out there for them now. It's a great time to be a celiac. Now you can get the body of Christ.
Oh, my God. We are so going to hell.
No. Like, there's no need to hide from the fact that obviously I'm quite deeply involved in the church. And I would like to say that... as a representative of the church, this is fine.
We're forgiven.
My dad's a special minister. I'm going to ask Dad if he has to hand out gluten-free wafers. I don't think they do it at our parish.
I'm not sure the Catholics are there yet, but I think most of the others are there.
My dad would be like, hell no, he wouldn't hand it out. He wouldn't, I'm telling you.
Option A or option B? But don't you think I feel sorry for people who were celiac any time sort of before the last, I don't know, like 5 or 6 years. It was so hard to get gluten-free products.
Yes.
Do you have any, so my mum, for example, my mum genuinely believes that most intolerances are made up and in people's heads.
Mm.
Overdiagnosed, I believe, is the term she uses. However, there are people, like, I have a friend who's genuinely celiac, like, out for days
very
if he
sick.
Eats gluten.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I think it's the same thing as, like, cold versus flu. People who say, I've got the flu,
and you don't,
you've just got a cold.
Yes. Mm.
And I think there are people who probably self-diagnose as celiac when they get a bit bloated. Whereas celiac, you know, yeah, if you've got that,
illness.
You are out for the
but
count.
Think,
you are
I think there's another level
Ill.
Altogether, the people who are like, I just don't eat gluten. Well... you're an idiot. Like, don't, like.
Well, I mean, I think there's been research there by gastroenterologists who've said unless you have some kind of a disorder or an illness, there is actually no reason for people not to eat gluten because your body can process it. So I don't think I'm speaking out of line there. I think that that's pretty much the general.
I mean, I could easily self-diagnose myself. I'm sure I have some form of intolerance because of grug. My permanent stomach bug. I'm sure I have an intolerance of some kind.
Well, you know, gummy bears set you off, no end.
Yes, yes. Lots of things set me off,
it's
Sarah.
It's horse hooves. It's horse hooves.
Do you know what? You know how
it's gelatin.
You know, I've got that. Wait, I've got an amazing fact. You know how I bought that book, QI Facts, that television show QI, and I bought the book, and it's just thousands of facts. This was one. I don't have it with me.
Ready?
Okay. All mammals, regardless of their size, defecate in 12 seconds.
Wait, what? Pull that
sorry,
out.
Sorry, Az, just walked into the conversation.
Hold on, mammals.
All mammals, that's you, Lise, regardless of their size, defecate, that's poo.
What do you mean in 12
seconds? In 12 seconds. What do you mean? Like the passing of the bowel?
Of defecation.
Movement. Hold on. Like from... well, that is me, but it's not you.
Seconds. It's 12 seconds.
We've already established that, Sarah.
No, but I don't know if I really want to. Maybe I shouldn't have brought this up.
What do you mean? I don't think.
The actual act when is 12 seconds, done and dusted. Whether you're a kangaroo. whether you're a kangaroo
Whoa,
or...
Oh, this is amazing.
I don't understand.
Wait, a kangaroo's not a mammal, is it?
No, it's a marsupial.
I was getting my M's mixed up. Not a kangaroo. They're probably
shorter. I don't know if that fact is correct, Sarah.
Well, it says it in QI.
An elephant's rectum is 10 times longer than a cat's, yet they poop in the exact same amount of time.
Yes.
12 seconds. So when the...
Okay, I'll explain it. I've got a thing here.
It's when the poo comes down. That's 12 seconds.
Defecation begins, for example, at T equals zero, which they say is when the tip of the feces appears.
Did you have to read that out, Scott?
Hold on, I'm not
done. I wish you had never read that out.
And to avoid confusion between steady state pooping, which is what humans do, and animals like rabbits that produce little pellets.
Pellets.
Wow.
Producer Aaron is
not
happy with us.
I mean, when Az left, we were talking about gluten-free wafers. and he's come back in and we're talking
defecation.
About 12 seconds.
Hey, I've got people want advice from you.
Scott? I don't think they do.
Firstly,
this is manufactured.
They do. And secondly, if you posted about it on social media.
Well, we don't have a photo to go along with it.
Well, you need another photo shoot? You
yes,
want me to organise that with marketing?
Yes, please.
Yeah, could you?
Those two girls have been on air for 2 months now and haven't had another photo shoot.
Because we've used that one everywhere. We can't use it anymore. And the other ones we took, I don't have any discernible eyes.
Where can we view the photos of you?
She does.
I don't. I mean, they're like little black dots. Like that laser beams could like hurt people from.
You are impossible though with your photo selection. You are such a harsh critic.
You're terrible.
No, I'm just like, whatever. I don't. I mean, there's some that are definite no's. Definite no's, but then most I'm just like, whatever.
Well, I think the struggle we have with Lise is that even though she was a professional international module for a number of years, she still can't look down the barrel of the camera. So even with selfies,
it's too much
sometimes
for the camera
with
to
iPhones,
take, Sarah. It's like Zoolander.
She knows
if I
where the dot
it,
is, and
they
I'll
would
be
never
like,
recover.
Lise, look at the dot.
No.
And then the photo will come back and she's like looking hard left.
Got the wrong dot, sorry.
Yes. Sorry, what's the advice?
Here's the advice question that people are asking. And you can ask questions by messaging at Lise and Sarah on Instagram or finding those two girls on Facebook. You can also go onto our Apple podcast page and leave a review with a question.
Please do.
Here's today's question.
Okay, I'm ready.
Previously on the podcast, you guys have talked about the fact that you cook meals for each other to help you during the week.
Yep.
If time was not an issue, what is your favourite thing to cook for your families?
Time is always an issue. I don't like cooking.
I would say my favourite thing.
Lise is the gourmet cook.
How did you like my curry, by the way, the other week?
Mild.
Mild? Nice. Too mild? Too mild?
Mild enough for the children.
That's what I made it for.
It was nice.
Did you add a bit of sauce?
No, I didn't.
Well, that's what you need a bit of acid.
How did that Mongolian beef?
I haven't had it yet. I've frozen it.
I think you're going to need some soy. I think it's lackluster with the flavour.
I like cooking in a Le Creuset dish, which is for those of you.
Is that how you say it? That's I always thought it was like Le Creuset.
What is it?
It's like a big. It is a French dish.
They last for about 350 years, and they cost about $350,000.
It's a heavy cast iron dish, and
often
it can be
orange, like the color of cooked crab.
It can be passed from generation to generation. Anyway, and you can slow cook things in them. So you can braise and then put the lid on. I also have a slow cooker. I like doing slow cooked meals.
So what do you like to make?
Like lamb shanks, curries.
Boring.
Stuff you, Sarah. Then I'll make you. What do
so
you want me
your,
to cook you?
This is your. No, that's fine for me. This is your dream meal to cook for your family.
What's
lamb
your,
shanks.
What's
come
your,
on.
What's your
do you have you ever had my lamb shanks?
No.
There you go. Talk to me when you've had them.
What's but your, you and Dane just spent $100 on cheese last week.
Yes,
like
we
I feel like you have fancier tastes than lamb shanks.
Lamb shanks?
Because you're French.
Lamb shanks are incredible. Have you guys? Do you guys not rate lamb shanks?
No. I don't.
Sarah, you don't. Haven't made them properly
then. What
then.
Is it? What is it? What, like maybe if you weren't cooking, what would be your dream meal to be delivered to your house?
Um, I like burgers.
I respect that a lot.
Thank you.
Because so do I.
Yeah. I mean, my favourite meal, just to take it down a notch or
I'm
two.
I'm going to guess it's saladas.
No. With, is,
you do, she that does was like my 20s. Stuff on crackers. No, I'd you like, still I eat do that like, for dinner, Sarah.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, if Will's is away, I do. But I've got the children to feed now, and that's the painful thing, is that they need to eat so often, and they need to eat good food.
Mm.
It's my undoing with cooking. But I like getting the packet Caesar salad from Woolies.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Delicious. And just grilling a oven-bake fish. Mixing it all in together.
That's nice.
I like it. It's easy.
The brekkie guys.
But don't come to me for any kind of cooking advice. I feel like there is like a 2-ingredient cookbook that I could offer to the world.
The brekkie guys need to come
all
in.
Right, they
need
oh, to do they?
They're literally standing at
all right, this has been too long. Sorry. These
I also
podcast
need to
openers
give
are getting
everyone
very long.
A tonsil update next time.
Oh, shit.
There's movement.
There's no movement.
I do. I need to give you guys a
Where
tonsil
did
update.
Matt get a Gloria Jean's coffee this time in the morning?
I don't Gloria know, but Jean's. We need to find out. Bye, guys.
He's got friends in high places. Her name's Gloria.
And she wears jeans.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Good morning, Australia. It's a new week.
Hello, guys.
And
how are we feeling?
Hit a new studio standard, Lise. I noticed you've brought in your breakfast this morning. Did I okay that?
I've got 3 little banana pikelets in a little baggie. Why are you
well,
offended
it's just
by
always,
this?
It's always food with you. Always
it is
food.
Always food with me. And...
Well,
let me live my life. Speaking of food, I've got more breakfast food stories for you.
Are you right? Are you awake?
Not really. Did you know, Sarah, that people are now proposing with avocados?
What?
Yes, I'm not even kidding. Avocados have now become the go-to fruit. Is an avocado a fruit? Yes, it has a seed. It's a fruit. So you cut open an avocado, you place the ring inside, and then when you get down on one knee, you open the avocado so your bride-to-be can say, I avocado.
Well, I avocado don't. Who wants a diamond ring that they then have to get the avocado muck off?
Well, they're saying.
And you know what? If you're pairing an avocado with a diamond ring, that's just showing off as to how rich you are.
That's
because
right.
If you can afford an avocado and a bit of bling, you're doing all right
Why
in life
buy
at the
a
moment,
house?
Aren't you?
Why get on the property market when you can have an avocado?
And then you could just smash that avo and have it for breakfast afterwards.
Well, maybe you'd propose with an avocado to a fitness fanatic. They're saying that there's 4 C's for the perfect avo proposal. So one, you've got to pick the
this
colour.
This is just a very loose attempt at a marketing campaign,
one,
but keep going.
Colour. Hue is key. You want a nice green avo. 2, complexion. Firm but malleable skin. 3, cut. Find one with a perfect pear shape. That's the avocado, not the diamond. 4, creaminess. Soft flesh, but not overripe. Best for keeping the ring center stage. It's a thing, guys. Get on board.
Oh, what if you were desperate and chose the wrong avocado and it was just brown mush inside?
It's like you have a window of 3 seconds for the perfect avocado.
Yes,
good
right,
luck.
Not right.
And let me tell you, Sarah, I had such an eventful weekend because my best friend in the whole wide world, I mean, you are one of them, FYI, don't get sad, but my other best friend in the whole wide world went into labour.
Yes, you did. You touched on this last week because it actually brought a tear to your eye. I think you lost a tear, didn't you?
I did.
A small miracle. Because
it was the first tear in 10 years that I've lost because I don't cry much. But anyway, she went into labour and the funniest thing about the whole thing is that Belinda comes from a big Italian family.
Yeah.
So what started off as a regular labour ended up being my big fat Italian labour because I was privy to a Facebook thread that had 18 people on this thread, 18 family members.
Do you mean like a private messenger thread, like a group chat?
A group chat thread, yes. So on this
How many?
18 members of her family.
Who were they?
Cousins, brothers, so young cousins, like 25-year-old male cousins were in on this thread. Obviously, her mother, her female cousins, all of this. But this is just a snippet from her. This was one of the messages from her brother within the thread. just spoke to the father. They're still hanging around. Belle is doing okay, but no sign of it coming yet. I replied, wowzers, thanks for the news. Dilation? He writes back, I don't know. I didn't realise that was a question I should have asked. But all of this is being discussed among male cousins and brothers. 51 messages in that thread.
Oh my gosh, she was not part
of that thread. We were all discussing her labour. And I just figure, is this standard family practice for Italians? Or do you have a big fat family that you guys do something weird in, but it's standard for you guys?
Because I think that there was an entire, you know, three, maybe four people who knew when I was in labour.
Yes.
And given my first labour took 3 days, that was enough, let alone if I had 18, 20, 25 people in on a group chat asking how I was going.
I mean, they were so invested. It's just the Italian way. I want to
throw the phones on this.
Yes.
13, 10, 60, is there some weird thing that your family will do? Everyone else would think it's weird, though. 13,
but,
10, 60.
But it's normal for your family.
Did Belle even mind that there were 18 people wondering how she was going in labour?
I don't
being
know
Italian?
If she was part of this particular thread. That's what made it even funnier.
Oh, gosh.
I'll have to read it to her later once she's settled down. But, yeah, love it. Love big Italian families. I feel very privileged that I was part of that.
Right now, talking about the weird things your family do but they think is totally normal.
Yes. So Lisa's best friend in the whole world, a lady called Belle, just had her first baby on the weekend. And Belle also happens to be Italian. Now, Lise, being one of her oldest friends, was also part of the family group chat about the progression of Belle's labour. And there were how many people in the group chat?
18 people on the Facebook
including
Messenger.
Male cousins, uncles,
brothers.
Aunties, brothers. I mean, the works.
We were talking about everything from dilation to what was happening in the air, everything.
And it blows my mind because my family's all of, you know, 5 people. And yes, I've got aunties and uncles, but I can tell you what, none of my male cousins were privy to what was happening with my service.
I mean, I find it so endearing. I just was relishing every time I got a ping on my phone. I was like, here we go. Give me some good Italian
behaviours.
It makes
me want to be Italian or Greek or, you know, when I hear those stories, I'm like, God, that would be so hilariously fun.
I think there's lots of things that families do, whether they're European families or not, that are standard
for
within
them.
The family, but weird to everyone else. Let's talk to Mariana. Are you there?
Are you
Italian with a name like that?
I am Italian.
Okay, so talk to me about your big fat Italian family. It's kind of like the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does sound like that. So my auntie recently just had a baby, and one of the family members, mind you, there's 25 of us, and that's just first cousins and aunties, thought it was a great idea to do a WhatsApp chat group.
Oh, yeah, WhatsApp.
And
and
go through my auntie's pregnancy through that, talking about when she was in labour, whether she had a C-section, normal birth, how far she's dilated. Mind you, in the group, I've got, like, younger cousins, and I have uncles in there as well.
Okay, so everyone's in on this.
Was your auntie on it or no?
No. So, and then a couple of days later, we decided to add her in the group, and she was reading these messages and was like, what the hell?
But that's just totally normal to you, Mariana? That's not like...
Well, yeah. I mean, on the Wednesday night, we go to my grandfather's house, and 25 of us is just a normal, hi, how you going?
That's a normal Sunday roast gathering.
Dare I ask, Mariana, as an Italian, what is a big family celebration in your world?
I don't know. It's normal.
Like if 25 is normal, you're talking 60, 70 by the time you add second cousins in and cousins once removed?
We just had my mum's 50th and we were, I don't know, probably like 85 of us.
Nice.
And that was just intimate family.
I love it.
I just think you'd have to do a bit of secret Santa-ing at Christmas, wouldn't you, to get out of buying presents for everyone?
Imagine the cannoli they'd be making for that. Is that what it is? Is that that's that sweet pastry, isn't it, Mariana, with the custard in it? She's gone. She's gone. She's looking after the 80,000 family members.
She just got a WhatsApp message.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Broly or no Broly? How much rain do you have to get on your bod before you put up an umbrella?
I personally am no Broly. I find them a waste of space. I don't like the little spikes. I always have a fear that it's going to like puncture my eye. I'd rather get wet.
No. I am ready with a Broly for sun and rain. Any given moment, I've got a Broly.
I know you are.
That's within arm's reach. But this came to our attention because one of our producers didn't want to put up his umbrella during a short walk to the city because, well, he said he felt less of a man if he put his umbrella up when it was just spitting.
I agree with him. I support him in his choice to go umbrella-less because I just think what is so bad about a little bit of rain? I hate carrying those things. I'd rather wear a poncho any day.
But you just invest in a good umbrella, Lee. Like, I've got a little one that's projectile. I press a button, boom, and it's up, and it's big, and it's loud.
And
I'm dry.
I hate walking two or three to an umbrella. I also hate how much space they take up. Don't you find it awkward when you're crossing people in the street?
No, not at all.
Really?
Sometimes I'm kind and I say, do you want to get under my umbrella? Oh, not right. With you.
You two are going to sort this out. 13, 10, 60. Umbrella, like, are we, at what point do you put them up or are we just saying yes or no umbrella?
I would like to say, are you weak in character if you have an umbrella? Because that is my thought on this issue.
13, 10, 60, are you weak if you carry an umbrella?
No.
If Lee,
no.
Yes.
The weather report came out today and it said for the next 5 days, yeah, it's going to be raining nonstop, would you begin carrying an umbrella or nah?
Look, it depends.
Which, may I add, it is around the country. I mean, I think Melbourne's the only place that actually says sunny, but it's Melbourne, so we know it's going to rain today.
I mean, I'm not doing a marathon in the rain. I'm like running from my car into the servo, or I'm running from my car into school. Who cares?
No,
just get wet.
It's sensible.
13, 10, 60, guys, give us a buzz.
Are you weak of character if you carry an umbrella?
Big issues.
There we go. We've said it.
Please, you and I often have arguments around I'm the eldest sibling and you're the youngest, mm-hmm, in our respective families. Well, I think I've got a doozy of eldest child syndrome for you.
I mean,
you.
I'm already annoyed because you elder siblings are just...
Well, you can join my sisters in your sentiment. So I have two younger sisters, Rach and Jen. I'm 36. I'm 37. They're 33 and 29. And they're both cat obsessed. Right. Now, it was Rach's birthday last week. And Jen thought this is the perfect opportunity to get Rach a cat because the RSPCA was having their $29 animal clear out.
Adoption. Yes, they were.
Okay. So Jen found a cat and Mum absolutely was not to get wind of it. Because Mum inherits Rachel's cats and she doesn't have a good track record. They're all a little bit deranged.
So she's set a precedent in the past, yes, Rach has, and yes, your mum.
So we were all like, no one tell Mum, okay, this is happening. Now, I made the mistake of putting up a post on Instagram saying we're looking for cat names.
A rookie error,
okay,
Sarah.
And lots of people were sending their cat names through.
Yes.
And then Mum commented, I want to know why you're discussing this topic, Sarah. Don't tell me Rachel's getting another cat. To which my younger sister then replied, block her, Sarah! Okay. Then Rachel and I are in the group chat and we start sending screenshots of Mum calling each of us. Let it go to voicemail. Don't answer it. Stay strong. We're adults. She doesn't need to control us. Okay. No one answer their phones for 6 hours until the cat is in our possession.
Yes.
Now, I'm the eldest.
Oh, Sarah, you didn't. I already know where this is going. I'm so angry at you.
I answered the call.
You answered Bez's call. Against your sister's wishes.
And Bez was like, what is going on down there? No one's picking up. There's a cat, isn't there? And I was like, I was laughing too hard. I couldn't breathe. I said, you've got to talk to the other two. I'm just the getaway cat driver. And then I sent them a message. I said, girls, I'm sorry. I'm the weakest link. I answered. They were spewing.
Because you
Bez and I started
would have called
getting messages
you.
Like, stop selling us out. She's been a rat the whole time. Yes. Don't answer her calls. And then they made me leave the conversation.
Sarah, you know that Bez will continually call you because she knows you will cave.
She knows I will crumble. It's an eldest child thing. I swear to God,
so
you don't have it. You don't understand because you're the youngest, and you kids can get away with blue murder. We eldest ones, we can't.
Just live your life without Bez.
I can't. There's no escape.
You're a grown woman.
I was like Ryan, thinking he wasn't going to escape from Davina on Married at First Sight last night.
But he did, and he was fist pumping his way out of that industrial warehouse.
Oh, well, let's fist pump our way out of the studio today.
See you guys. Happy
Monday.
Great Monday. Mwah. That was unnecessary.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.